Broadcasting live from Roberta's in Bushwick, Brooklyn, you're listening to HeritageRadioNetwork.com.
Today's show is brought to you by Hearst Ranch Grass-Fed Beef, available on the internet at HearstRanch.com.
Working with my iPad today because my computer is MIA, so bear with me, guys. Usually that sits here on the table and I go off of it. Very busy week. Mother's Day today. Happy Mother's Day to all listening, all the mothers of everyone who contributes to The Morning After. My name is Jason Colucci, at the Jason Colucci on Twitter. Very excited about today's show. We've been talking about the great Guga Muga.
Correct.
For a long time. Thank you, Carrie Black, co-founder and very busy man of Superfly Presents, is here to discuss the great Guga Muga. We'll talk a little bit about Bonnaroo, which was, I would say, the second part of Superfly, the first part mostly being New Orleans and Jazz Fest. I'm really excited about that because I'm a logistics nerd. And also, Brian Calvert, co-owner of James Restaurant, Prospect Heights.
Happy Mother's Day.
How did you escape Mother's Day brunch?
I snuck out.
I got to go do some PR stuff for the restaurant. Well, I got to do this stuff.
We started at 11, got totally slammed, and you know, by 2 o'clock, I was like, all right, I got to sneak out. You know, so.
And I love James Restaurant. I live in Park Slope, just you know, the other side of the tracks of Flatbush Avenue there, and have cocktails there at the bar all the time. It is my birthday tomorrow. I have to say that, so people are a little bit nicer to me. I was out last night. I was just out last night, and I'm you know, I'm hurting a little bit.
morning after?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Well, the morning, yeah.
Not yet, but
it is the morning for most restaurant people here at 3 o'clock. It is the best slot. It is part of the Power Packed Sunday slot here on Heritage Radio. Starting with the main course, we have Mike and Judy's show. We have Straight No Chaser. Correct, Jack? And then
I'm impressed.
And then Burning Down the House. It's like Friends, Frasier. Remember that Thursday night lineup? Seinfeld? I don't know who would be That's the right. Seinfeld, but whatever. Jess, are we going to get somebody on the phone? Tell me when we're ready. You can just patch through once we start ringing. we can talk to that person, that special person. Here we go. It's like I'm listening to an old Jerky Boys.
Hey, what's up, Jerky?
Hey, Dad, what's up? It's Jason, your son. Don't say anything weird because you're on the air here on The Morning After.
Oh, okay.
I wanted to call. I'm calling up to wish Mommy a happy Mother's Day. Can you please don't tell her she's on the air. Just hand her to the phone. Is she close by or no?
All right, let me get it.
Okay. Where are you guys?
I'm at the break.
Turn down the radio. Okay.
Okay, here she is.
Hey. Oop. Hey, Mom. Hello?
Hello?
Hey,
hello?
Mom, happy Mother's Day. You're on the air, just so you know. I just wanted to call to wish you a happy Mother's Day. I wanted to do it earlier today, but we kind of got caught up with some stuff.
Oh, that's okay. I know you had your show today, so that's fine.
And you're on the show right now. What are you doing for Mother's Day today? Anything special? Kids coming?
Matter of fact, right now I'm at a communion party.
Communion?
Oh. Yeah.
Somebody double-booked Mother's Day in a communion party.
Yeah, so... That's where I am now.
All right. Well, I just wanted to say that. I'll talk to you later. Happy Mother's Day. Have a good time at your communion party.
Okay.
All right.
I'll talk to you later.
Try the veal. All right.
Well, thanks for calling.
Anytime.
Bye-bye.
Well, thank you, Jesse, for putting that through. Jesse, you were at the James Beard sort of after parties last Monday, was it? How would that go? We're not really hearing you. Oh, it's all right. Well, whatever. We'll talk to you later about that. You know what? Let's take a break. Let's come back. Carrie, are you ready for this interview?
Sure. Let's do it.
Let's take a break, guys. We'll come back. We'll talk to Carrie about the great Guga Muga. Morning after.
What I want.
Grass-fed beef, pasture-raised on 150,000 acres in Central California. Hearst Ranch grass-fed beef, free-range, sustainably produced, humane. Hearst Ranch grass-fed beef, the authentic flavor of the American West.
I just have to say, if you guys want to book Brian Kenny from Hearst Ranch for Bonnaroo, he's available.
Kerry, you seem way too relaxed for.
He's
going to put out a major event.
Yeah, he's.
We've done it once or twice before, so.
Yeah. That was great. When did you guys put that together?
Brian was here a few weeks ago. Yeah, he's a trip.
Cool
guy.
That sounded great. Kerry Black, co-founder of Superfly Presents, is in studio. It's an entertainment and marketing agency best known as the creators of Bonnaroo, an annual four-day music festival held on a farm in Tennessee. The founders of Superfly are Jonathan Myers, Rick Farman, Kerry Black, Richard Goodstone. The four had worked together as music and event promoters in New Orleans before deciding to start their own festival after attending California's Coachella Valley Music and Arts Festival. Superfly's approach to the first Bonnaroo was notable for a number of reasons. The venue was remote, the bands were not chart toppers, and perhaps most unique, promotion was entirely done on the internet. Prodigy at the time, we were running on Netscape. This seems to be the current approach with the great Guga Muga, a no-frills approach to food and music in Park Slope, Prospect Park, if you will. So you guys are hanging out one day, you decided to make life a little bit more complicated.
Yes.
And say, hey, listen, let's destroy the first part of our life before Bonnaroo and complicate it with New York City licensing. Marty Markowitz, who has opened the doors for you guys a lot here.
Indeed, he has.
So talk to me about how this came about.
Yeah, we like to make things really difficult for ourselves, first and foremost. I think for us, it's about doing things that are, you know, we're passionate about. So, getting into the food world was a natural progression for us. We're all very into food. And just like, you know, with the music festivals, it was from our first love of music. And we wanted to, you know, what would be the next thing to do. And, we had gotten our feet wet in the food world at Outside Lands Festival we do in San Francisco. When we were starting that festival, we were trying to think of what ways to make it unique, make it special. And so we decided to focus on the food and wine. There's obviously great, San Francisco is a great food town. So we work with 30 to 40 different San Francisco restaurants. We've had everyone from Slanted Door to Flower and Water to Namo doing Korean tacos, all sorts of incredible food out there. And we also do a winelands area where we have 30 to 40 different wineries out there, a lot from the Napa Valley nearby. So we saw that, and it was tremendously successful. After this last year of the event, every article that was written about it talked about the three pillars of the event: the music, the food, and the wine. So that really, you know, took us to say, hey, we should really do something focused on food and get into that world. So.
And you guys were in your mid-20s. You were in Tulane?
Yep, three out of the four of us went to Tulane.
And you're hanging out in New Orleans, which is my favorite place in the world other than New York.
It was amazing.
And you were working, organizing events after Jazz Fest, like after parties?
Yeah, I mean, we were doing shows throughout the year in New Orleans at that point, but that's where we got our start, was doing shows during Mardi Gras and at night during Jazz Fest.
I bet you got some good stories.
Indeed.
You're probably... And then the... you incorporate Superfly Presents there, or is that something you guys did later after you got a little bit more legitimate, or you guys sat down and said, let's create a company? And
yeah, no, we started incorporated Superfly in 96, right before our first event, which was Take Funk to Heaven Mardi Gras 97, way back in the day. So yeah, that's where we had Superfly since the beginning, and that's been our umbrella ever since.
And then how does the Bonnaroo come about, the name and everything? How does that...
Well, we, decided, after doing shows in New Orleans for a long time, that we wanted to do something bigger, better, and move on. We're big fans of like the big European festivals, and, had gone out to Coachella and had a really good time there. And so that was, some of the things that we looked at and decided we wanted to, go for it and try and do a big festival. And so we worked with a lot of the great bands that we'd been working with in New Orleans during our Jazz Fest stuff. Got the right lineup, the right time, and tried to do something, new and different, that's really big in Europe, but not as big here. And so it definitely worked pretty well.
Do you think that's just because they're set up that way out there in Europe and it just hadn't been done here? Or?
Yeah, they have a huge, festival culture out there that's been around for, for decades now. And I mean, there's just hundreds all across Europe. And so it's like everything over there is easier because there's, there's temp companies who do just festivals, and for every part of production, they have people who do it just for festivals all across Europe. So it's
my favorite is the Wicker Man Festival they do out there in the Nordics. Too.
Nice.
We sacrifice somebody every year.
Nice.
But it's different than Burning Man. But it's interesting talking about Burning Man because there's a couple of documentaries out there. One, I don't know the name of either one, but one is really good, and it just shows you the logistics involved and the full time staff that they have year round, and then they amp up. And it becomes that area becomes a city. Is that sort of what's happening right now? With both festivals,
definitely. I mean, we have a bunch of teams to work on it. I mean, Superfly, we're about 25 people now. For Bonnaroo, we also work with AC Entertainment, who has their own full office there. And then we have department heads who work on all of our festivals year round. So they're working on stuff throughout the year, and then it ramps up during the festival to be 4,000 or 5,000 people working for us during the weekend. So it's pretty intense.
Anything? There's the Extra Muga that I hear about.
Correct.
What is the Extra Muga?
The Extra Muga, the festival within a festival. It's the paid experience at Guga Muga. It's really going to be pretty incredible. There's much like a music festival. There's going to be four different stages of stuff going on at all times. All sorts of great programming from having Anthony Bourdain speak and James Murphy doing DJ set from LCD Sound System. We're going to have Silent Disco out there. Things like the Beer and Bacon, where Garrett Oliver from Brooklyn Brewery and Alan Benton are going to curate beer and bacon pairings.
Brian, you'll be out there, right?
You guys... I'll be in the main Guga Muga, not the Extra. But
so, Kerry, I wake up on Saturday. I live in Brooklyn. It's last minute. I don't know anything, but somebody says, "Hey, you got to go to this thing." Can I just go there and do general admission that day, or is it everything kind of sold out, or is there last minute tickets?
The general admission registration is closed. All the tickets are gone for that at the moment.
Nice.
But Extra Muga is still available.
How many tickets were sold for general admission?
It's going to be 40,000 per day.
I better start making a lot of cheesecake bombs.
If you run, just send people to Juniors or something to pick up some extra cheesecake. Yeah. Is that what you guys are doing?
Yeah, we're actually, wanted to do something that was kind of fun.
Yeah.
We're in the Sweet Circus, which is like the dessert aspect of the Guga Muga, and we want to do something fun, like carnival-like, and also Brooklyn-like. So we're like, let's do cheesecake. We do cheesecake on our menu at James. So we thought that would be great, but we thought we wanted something to take the next level, carnival level. So basically we're making cheesecake bombs.
40,000 portions.
40,000 portions. Cheesecake bombs, which are little fried cheesecake, bombs, basically. So you get the munchies in the middle of the day. You know where to find us.
When do you start starting production for all that stuff?
Tomorrow.
After this interview is over.
Get that dairy order in right away, because there's going to be no dairy or ice in the whole south side of Brooklyn for a long time. Did you say something about ham before you were mentioning?
Yeah, that's, well, like you were saying, we were having a lot of creating these different areas. You know, we didn't want it to be something where like, oh, here's 50 different restaurants, you go try each one and go home. We really want to create like a full entertainment experience out there. So we are having a pizza area, a burger experience, the Sweet Circus, which is all dessert and confections. We'll have that circus kind of feel to it. And then we're also doing an area called Hamageddon, which is a pork area with a rock and roll theme to it. We're going to have, that's one of the stages of music is in there. So we have a bunch of great Brooklyn rock bands like Bare Hands and then a cover band like Unchained, the Mighty Van Halen tribute, all sorts of like fun stuff on that stage.
You were Jess, you were talking about that, the Van Halen.
No, I think I was talking about Led Zeppelin.
Oh, so
there's like the Van Halen cover band, and there's the lady.
Oh, it's like a lesbian Led Zeppelin cover band?
Yeah.
Oh, that's awesome.
They're fantastic, they're actually.
Yeah, what band? Like Hall & Oates. I'm not huge. If it's not the Springsteen or Arcade Fire, you know, I'm kind of like out of the loop there a little bit. But what bands are going to be there? I mean, anyone that...
Yeah, Hall & Oates, The Roots, Fits in the Tantrums, Holy Ghost, Charles Bradley.
Are you guys going to do one of those little last minute... you guys got something up your sleeve. Is like Prince going to show up or something?
No. The music's set at this
point.
Music's
set.
Yeah. Should be good though.
Jess, what was up with James Beard? Was that a running around? I tried to ask you before. You went out afterwards. Paul Greco won for.
Yeah, I mean, we started at Blue Hill to give our condolences. We're, you know, kind of bummed that Blue Hill didn't win for best restaurant in America. But hey, you know, they've got more days.
A few rewards already. He's
exactly.
He's James Beard, so.
That's a great way to look at it. Yeah. Absolutely.
He was doing another TED talk anyway. He was at a TED conference. Yeah.
So then we moved on to Tertulia, which is actually right down the block from Blue Hill, to say hello, and it was great. We got to see Seamus walking in and give him hugs and, you know, say sorry he didn't win for best new restaurant, but I'm sure he's, you know, on his way to win something amazing really soon. And then, so then we moved on to Hearth, where Paul Greco did win best like wine and spirits professional in the U.S. So that was pretty exciting.
What was
saw lots of people there.
What was everybody wearing? How was the dress?
Like tuxes, everybody.
Tuxedos.
Suits and yeah, I mean, I knew I had to dress up because I didn't want to look super out of place. But Paul Greco is doing all the wine for
creating all the wine at our event.
Exactly, yeah. And he was at Outside Lands. That's probably how you guys got connected,
correct?
Right?
Summer of Riesling.
He did Summer of Riesling last year at Outside Lands in San Francisco, and then and so now he's kind of curating all of the wine at Great Cucamonga.
Yeah, he's been great to work with, and Garrett Oliver did the same thing with the beer for us as well.
It's all Brooklyn all the way with our sort of our West Coast sister, San Francisco. Brooklyn and San Francisco tie into each other so much with everything. It's culinary wise and culturally. But let's take a break. I want to come back. We'll talk. We'll get a little bit more in depth. We'll talk some more shop. Morning after.
Touch this elephant dynamite, yo. Touch this elephant dynamite, check it out. Everything, come on, Bartain. Touch this elephant dynamite, come on. Touch this elephant dynamite, come on. Touch this elephant dynamite.
Yo, check it out, true. Do send the soul missing link. What could MCs who listen think? It's black thought. Open your eyes and don't blink. Yo, to rock this mic is like a basic instinct. But true. Do send.
Behind me, the mic champion. More than a steppy on. Motherfucker sweating me, begging me just to get me on. Macro cosmic, micro master.
Hey, yo, I'm all the way, way. Feel lay, lay. People wanna see the way the Illadel play. Yo, look in the mirror, watch what yourself say. I'm from S-Pay. No mortal man can test me. Thought I keep upper echelonian, Heineken, hold the rhyme and it flows, reminding them cats to hear me or some shit from back in the pack. You half stepping out, could never fathom a grasp.
Cause hey, yo, we got a doctorate in cold rocking it, bringing this apocalypse, nigga. You mad topical? If my raps tricks your optical, Mr. Superficial, I'm ripping apart your heart tissue. This is your official dismissal. I don't study the artificial. Who fucking with the dark crystal? Yo, what art is you? I'm moving like a smart missile.
Pam, how are you? Very well.
Good.
We're back the morning after. We've just have some extra Muga in the house.
I think we're new to Extra Muga too. It's like been very recent that we've become part of it in the past couple weeks.
These guys are smart. They don't shoot themselves in the foot. They don't establish everything. They have this Extra Muga.
No, so it's great. I was excited when I heard we were invited and we were doing it. So,
well, I was excited that you guys were nominated for the Beard Award, you guys are doing some great things out there, and I'm sure in the future things will happen.
Exactly.
For you.
Exactly, we're not worried.
It is a hot restaurant right now. What do you guys, Friday nights, Saturday nights, Tertulia, rocking it. Are you guys open now for brunch?
We are open for brunch, and we actually do take reservations for brunch, which we do not take for dinner. So if you want to come in and know you have a table, come to brunch.
And what are you guys doing food-wise for Extra Muga?
Extra Muga, we are going to do some very large paella. Which is really cool when you
like
see
one of those big round things.
I think it's almost like it's like 48 inches, so it's a 48 inch paella pan. So it's going to be some.
That's how you make it. That's how they. That's like the right way to do it.
It's yeah.
Like,
it's going to be very.
I had a paella like 3 weeks ago. At Tertulia, it was great, amazing,
awesome,
crispy on the bottom, which is what you want.
Exactly.
That's the best part.
Yeah.
What's that? There's a word for that in the
Socarrat.
Socarrat.
Yeah.
So we're going to do a few of those for
Socarrat
for Guga Muga, and then we will have one other thing as well, which is still slightly in the works, but
okay, fair enough.
But we're excited to be part of it. I was, you know,
are you gonna like wood fire the paella or like your
I think
propane?
We have to use
there's
yeah
another part. Well, we can't say that on there. We can't
chop down
there.
The trees from the park. Exactly. Like, you know, like,
that's our plan.
That probably wouldn't go over too well.
Carrie has to get another permit. We can't say that on there. So, what are you guys? Is it the fire marshal walks around and stuff like that? Is it all?
Yeah, we've worked very closely with them in the city to make sure that everything complies for their standards.
We promise to be on spec with everything.
Exactly. Brian Calvert, chef, owner, James Restaurant, co-owner.
Yes.
I love this restaurant. I go all the time. I talked a little bit about it before. It's my favorite place to go and just hang out at the bar and have a quick cocktail and some light fare. I know you guys push seasonality a little bit, and that's such an overused word, but I think you guys do it properly. You know, asparagus is in season. It's the beginning of the spring. You put it on the menu. You don't mess with it. Is that a focus?
Yeah, I mean, I have a few farmers I work with directly, and they're like, this is what I have, and I'm like, okay, this is what's going to be on the menu. It's very simple. It's not really too formulated. But we definitely like working with like local farmers. We have Liberty.
Good cheese program too, right, you guys?
Yeah, pretty good cheese program. Local cheeses. But the farmers, it's cool. They call me up. They're like, we have this new whatever. What are we working on now? Asparagus. We got ramsin.
Ramsin.
Yeah. We have some stuff growing. We're actually working with a really local place called Project Eats, which is the stuff is grown in the five boroughs. It's community based, and they're putting out some great stuff too. So they just kind of show up with like a bag of stuff. They're like, "Can you use this?" I'm like, "Sure, throw it on the menu."
Do you deal with Blooming Hill, like Guy at all? I mean, some of the other small farms. I mean,
a lot of the farmers market farmers we just go to and pick up the stuff and work with it. Yeah.
So this is a great. I'm a lover of restaurant stories, and this seems like the restaurant story. You're in the business. Mm-hmm. Do you meet your wife working in a restaurant?
I actually met her at a restaurant I previously owned, Cafe Atlas, which is on 59th Street, and she was a guest of a friend of mine, and we were introduced, and that was it. Like pretty much. You know, she's an event producer. She's done like a lot of events. She did many year awards for GQ for many years. So we actually have an event company too, Williams Calvert Events. So we produce events also besides the restaurant. And that's how actually we started working together. And we're like, let's do a little restaurant. You know, let's just have some fun with that. And it actually,
let's make our lives. let's start the great Guga Muga. Let's put a great Guga Muga in our lives. So let's make our lives. And you guys live above the restaurant. It's that story. You know, you live above the restaurant and stuff. It's perfect. I mean, I walk by there and I see you guys. You know, a lot.
It's very neighborhoody. You know, we know all the neighbors and they know us, and we're around all the time, and we're at the restaurant all the time, and that's why I had to come here to get out of the restaurant. Sometimes I have to be like, I have to leave now. You know,
yeah, you gotta pull yourself out,
do something else. Yeah, but it's been a great experience. And, you know, the community in Brooklyn has really embraced us, and New York also, the restaurant world. And the whole Brooklyn restaurant scene has been amazing lately. I mean, there's so many restaurants opening up. I mean, here we are in Roberta's, Bushwick.
You were a part of pushing like a neighborhood a little bit. You were one of the first operators over there. I mean, how long have you been in business?
Only 4 years, but
in 4 years...
It's just changed incredibly. A lot. I mean, there's so many restaurants in our neighborhood now, and just in Brooklyn across the board. And I mean, it's nice that the Googa Mooga is, you know, in Brooklyn, and that it's encompassed it like this whole New York scene, you know, like...
We couldn't get Central Park, sorry guys. Kidding.
Yeah, you know, Prospect Park is better, Central Park anyway. I mean, I'm in the park every morning with my dogs. I was there today.
Oh, you're the guy that when they run wild, like early morning, that 5:30 a.m. run wild?
Yeah,
till
9 o'clock, you can go off leash. Actually, if you go in the Prospect Park before 9 a.m. on the
off leash, right?
On Long Meadow and Ashley Netter Mead, where the Googa Moo is going to be. Obviously, there'll probably be some pissed off dog owners that are like, "What? I can't walk my dogs." And you're like, "Yeah, we're setting up for the Googa Moo." And they're like, "What?" I actually brought it up yesterday, and they're like, "They didn't know what I was talking about." And I was like,
"They'll find out."
Walking along the hard way, but yeah, this whole scene. There's like thousands of dogs off leash. You know, not thousands, yeah, sometimes thousands, but it's a cool scene if you like dogs.
Carrie, when do you guys start setting up?
Thursday. We're setting up during it's starting during the week. Actually, I don't know when things exactly are closing off, but we'll definitely be starting to set up during the week. So,
and then right after that, you flip to Bonnaroo.
Bonnaroo, yep. It's like 3 weeks later,
and then time off, relax,
Or something like that. Yeah, not really much time off, but yeah. And then we have a couple months until Outside Lands, which is in the middle of August.
Awesome. Oh wait, we have Laura Wirtz on the horn. All right, cool. Let's talk to Laura Wirtz here. Laura?
Hi, Jason. How are you?
Laura Wirtz with the hot job of the week.
That's right.
Laura Wirtz, go ahead.
All right. This week's hot job comes from Mirandi, a bustling Italian restaurant in the West Village. Mirandi is seeking experienced servers for its busy summer brunches, and ideal candidates have Italian wine knowledge and experience in New York City restaurants.
That's the Keith McNally owned operated place, Chef Tony Liu. It's on 7th Avenue South. What's the cross street there? What is it? Where is that place?
Waverly. It's on Waverly Place.
It's one of those confusing corners. I like that spot. It's a great spot for brunch. They have the outside dining.
Busy all the time. I walk past it to go to work every day, and it's constantly packed.
Yeah. Laura, where are you right now?
Oh, God.
Are you setting up for the great Googa Mooga?
I'm in the right now. I'm in the middle of a very busy Mother's Day brunch.
Oh, hey. All right. I'll let you get back. I know you're in the industry. I will let you get back to your production for Mother's Day brunch or expediting whatever you're doing today. Laura Wirtz, 86list.com. Are you going to the... I'm trying to try a cool acronym for the great Googa Mooga. Do you guys have one yet?
Not yet.
Oh, geez. I don't know.
Make it up for me.
Are you going to be there, Laura?
Yeah, I will be.
Oh, everyone's going to be at this thing. Gee, we got everyone's going to be there. This is like everyone is going to be at the Great Googa Mooga. And if you haven't bought tickets for Extra Mooga, how can they do that?
Go online to googamooga.com.
And that is where where we say pan and mantequilla in the industry. That's the real bread and butter. You have the general admissions, but if you really want to get in to get access and see panels of people talking, Tony Bourdain, if you will, or my boy Bauhaus is going to be there, right?
Eddie all over it.
Eddie's all over there.
Yes, indeed.
And with his Twitter, Eddie armed with his Twitter account. Let's take another break, guys. We're going to come back. We'll just open up the panel here. We'll talk about some good restaurant stories, some lighter fare, if you will, morning after. Morning After. We are back. You know, I mentioned this the other day, but I saw this. Anyone that loves industry stuff, Danny Meyer was on Charlie Rose about 2 weeks ago, and it's probably one of the best overall sort of encompassing everything about opening a restaurant operator. So, you know, you have your opinions of Danny Meyer or whatever, yada, yada, but check it out. He talks about opening restaurants, the philosophy behind opening restaurants. It's a 22-minute interview, and I highly recommend it. Check that out. What else? I'm on Eater right now, just kind of skimming through. They do, like, this week is Pizza Week. Is that what's happening this week?
Yes, that's what it's been all week long.
It's kind of annoying, right?
Yeah, thought it was pretty annoying.
Because it's the same 10 places they filter out in sort of different sort of applications. Where do you guys go for pizza? What do you guys, Carrie, what do you, pizza
my,
wise?
My favorite is Totono's in Coney Island. That's
there you go.
Amazing.
I can't remember the last time I've gone out just for pizza. I
haven't pizza. Who eats carbs? Kidding.
No, I just did.
No, I'm kidding.
I haven't had pizza for about a year, you know, like.
You go to Franny's?
I do go. Franny's is great. But if you don't like Antonio's on Flatbush Avenue, they have a grandma pie.
Yeah, that's and right by you. I mean,
yeah, it's like totally a little local place, but the grandma pie is really, really good.
Do you think that's like places like that was sort of like when you grew up, that's because you live there and
by the slice kind of places?
Yeah, I mean, do you think that's why you like it so much? Because it's close by, or
I think it stands up to it's different, you know, it's not the cold oven, it's very traditional, you know, like American Italian pizza.
Yeah,
you know, they have the like stromboli rolls and stuff like that, but it was pretty good. I was really impressed.
For me, Lee's Tavern in Staten Island. I don't know if anyone has made it out there, but they should definitely check it out. The other one in Staten Island people always talk about is Danino's. Has anyone watched the show Meat Men? The Pat LaFrieda show?
I buy his meat, but I haven't watched the show.
I haven't seen the show yet.
It's kind of funny. It's how staged it is. Well, because, like, you know, I mean, I know all reality TV is staged, but when you're really close to the subject... you know, I've never, you know, I wasn't there when they were filming. I don't know when they were filming, but I remember when, you know, I was doing business with them and it was going on, but I'm watching it. I'm just like laughing. And I just, when you're so close to material, how sort of rest of America are interpreting it, you know, sort of being a musician, if you will. Gary, you're a musician, right? I've seen you.
I am not, actually.
You're not? I see you in a guitar.
That's why I went into the music business.
But I saw you with a guitar in one of your things. Was that you just kind of... there's a photo of you on Google.
Really?
With you with a guitar.
Press up.
But when you're so close to the material, you don't know how it's interpreted. So, like, I'm wondering how well the show is done. It's about, you know, every day there's a demanding chef who demands their own blend of burger meat. And they're making 27... They have one machine, but make 125 different blends for different restaurants. It's like, yeah, okay, sure.
You don't think they're making my blend just for me? I don't know. I have to call them up.
I do think they're making your blend, but I think it's the same blend as like 10 other restaurants. That's all I'm saying. Because it's virtually impossible. Because like how you know you have a restaurant, it's a nice size.
Sure.
But how many pounds of chopped meat are you ordering a week?
Probably 200 pounds.
200 pounds.
Which is pretty actually a small amount compared to a larger. We're 40 seats.
But you're not. Tidy. But you're ordering tight. You're ordering 20 pounds every 2 days or 30
pounds. Exactly.
Okay. So you know. You process a particular restaurant's 20 pounds, right? Clean the machine, and then reprocess somebody else. It's just logistically a nightmare. Hence, talking about the great Guga Muga.
Drama makes good reality TV, though. So, yeah.
No, it's good. I like the show, so I'm just kind of caught up with it a little bit. We got Shadow on Jimmy Fallon. What? Talk about somebody without any real cooking skills. Pizza Week here. Any other guys have any other good shop or gossip? Oh, by the way, Jesse wants me to mention that to remind everybody about the server position for brunch at Morandi. Morandi, owned and operated by Keith McNally.
Nice.
Thank you, Jack.
86list.com.
86list.com is the website. Any last-minute details before we go, guys?
We can talk about Mother's Day. I mean, Mother's Day is considered one of the worst days in the restaurant world, as long as Valentine's Day. I mean, we have a great thing at James, and it goes well, but you have a lot of people that kind of, like, dine. They don't go out very often. They think their mothers are always... There was only, like, two family fights, I think, today at the restaurant, so usually there's a lot more. Yeah. So it's kind of be pretty stressful for the servers.
Do you think... people that come to the restaurants know how much we hate that they're there for Mother's Day?
Like, do you think they know that? The people that don't work in the industry. Like, do you think we're so sort of, like, out of touch with stuff? Like, that when they walk in, they're like, hey, it's 6.5 of us. And it's like a little kid. And it's like that stupid joke they always make. And it's like, we need a high chair for Mike. And it's like, oh, okay, great. We're here for Mother's Day. And you're like, oh, Jesus, these people are from
hell. Yeah, it's great to have the business and great to have people come with their families. But it's always, like, you know, usually more complicated than the regular day.
Always more complicated. And I think the parents may not know necessarily how we feel, because this is the night out with their kids, and they don't necessarily live in New York City and whatnot. I think the kids sometimes know, like, I have to do this. I know the restaurants don't love the fact that now we're... But it's still nice. I mean, it's, again, who doesn't want to be, you know, busy all times?
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's great.
When's Tertulia 2 Electric Boogaloo happening?
There are no set plans in the works for anything at the moment, but we're always looking, and there's always projects in mind. And
now's the time. Unite the clans.
Exactly. Well,
the book just came out, right?
The book just came out, yeah. So that's kind of where he's been focusing, just as far as... there's a lot of media after him right now to promote the book. And
Hero Foods
by Seamus Mullen. And yeah, so he's just been busy kind of promoting that. And, you know, we always keep our eyes open. You know, you walk around and you see spaces, and you, not necessarily for another Tertulia, but for maybe something else. And
Spanish concept
could be, we have a lot of things in the air, but, you know, you're always looking. So
I think it's like that, where you look around for a long time. Maybe you look for a venue space, Carrie, and you know, you just kind of like walk into a place, you're like, this is it. But it could take 3 years to find that, you know.
Yeah.
And in the meantime, you set up basically a second restaurant next to the Gugumuga.
Exactly. So, no, the Gugumuga is on everyone's, you know, it's on everyone's lips right now. So that's what I keep hearing about, which is great. Super excited for it.
On that note, Carrie, any final words before we go?
Well, I think you know, the general admission is there's no more tickets available, but we do have the El Camino riding around the city. It's a 1969 El Camino that we fitted for Gugumuga, and they are doing some giveaways from there. So if you want tickets, you can look for the El Camino driving around the city.
There was a giveaway that you did with a lot of restaurants. You did James,
yep,
where we just randomly chose a table for two tickets, and they're really, really happy to get the tickets.
Cool.
Awesome. It was totally awesome. Yeah.
How many free tickets did you guys do?
It's 40,000 per day. Yeah.
Gratis. On that note, I'm really excited. We will all be there next week. So tune in. In 2 weeks, you'll hear all the aftermath from the great Gugumuga. I want to thank all of our guests. I want to thank Jack Inslee, Heritage Radio. Everyone's Twitter is at Gugumuga.
Yep.
Anyone else have a Twitter they want to plug?
At Tertulia _NYC.
I'm a little old-fashioned. Facebook, you know, but no Twitter.
I'm on MySpace. I'm kidding. at the Jason Colucci. This is The Morning After. Have a great Mother's Day. Bye.
Thanks for listening to this program on the Heritage Radio Network. You can find all of our archived programs on heritageradionetwork.com, as well as a schedule of upcoming live shows. You can also podcast all of our programs on iTunes by searching Heritage Radio Network in the iTunes Store. You can find us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter for up-to-date news and information. Thanks for listening.